We read the Word of God tonight from John chapter 14, considering as the text verse 23 of this chapter. John 14, verse 23 is the text. A member of the congregation read this passage and asked that I consider preaching a sermon on the text. That's why we're considering this tonight. So we'll read John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know, that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Thus far we read the Word of God tonight, and God bless the reading of His Word. The text I call to your attention tonight is verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus at this time is with his disciples in the upper room. It is Thursday night, the night before the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. Jesus, that means, is about to depart from his disciples. And here in John chapter 14, we read of how Jesus explains that departure to the disciples. He's explaining to them that he is leaving. I, he says, am going away from you. I'm going unto the Father. That was hard for the disciples to hear because they have enjoyed now for about 3 years blessed communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ. And though they did not understand it very clearly, Jesus explained to them that by experiencing fellowship with Him, they experienced fellowship with God the Father too. Jesus explains this to Philip. When Philip said unto him in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus responded to him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now, having experienced that fellowship with Jesus and with God the Father, Jesus is explaining that is going to end. At least it's going to change. Jesus is explaining that he will not live with the disciples anymore the way that he had been living with them for the last number of years. And Jesus knows that the troubling thought for his disciples. And so he's explaining to them, and we find this in the chapter, not only that he is departing, but he says, I say unto you, I'm going to come again. He is comforting the disciples by telling them, I'm going to go away from you. I'm going to go to the Father. But don't let your hearts be troubled, because I am going to come again unto you, only in a different way. And so, on this occasion, Jesus explains to the disciples not only, but now also to the New Testament church, the beautiful reality of where He lives and where God lives. Jesus speaks in this chapter about His and God's abode, God's house. So, as we consider this text in the context of this chapter, the main question that is put before us is, where is God's house? How would you answer that question? Well, we have here Jesus' answer to that question. Is God's house in heaven? Is that how you, perhaps the children, would answer that question? God lives and abides in heaven. Well, that is the answer that Jesus provides in the chapter, especially in verse 2. Jesus explains where His Father's house of many mansions is, and that's where He is going, and that is heaven. Heaven is God's house of many mansions. And that is also the house of the disciples and all of the people of Jesus Christ. This is the great hope of the believer. Heaven is our home. It's our house where we will live and abide with God forever. But is that the complete answer? Isn't there another answer to the question, where is God's house? And Jesus provides us with another answer in the text. When He says in the text, the Father will love Him, and we will come unto Him and make our abode with Him, Jesus is explaining that God's house is also here with His people on the earth. Before the believer goes to heaven, before the believer enters into God's house of many mansions, God makes His house with the believer here on this earth. And we teach our children to answer the question that way too, don't we? Where is God's house? He lives in heaven, we tell them, and here in our hearts. Beloved, that's the beautiful truth that this Word of God brings to us this evening. That God loves us and comes and lives with us now while we live here yet in this life. Let's consider that tonight under the theme, the triune God coming and abiding with us. We're going to notice in the first place that this is a word of promise, a promise of communion. Secondly, that this is a call to obedience. You see that in the text too. And then we're going to consider thirdly, the blessed result. Jesus Christ, speaking to the disciples before His death and resurrection and ascension into heaven, is explaining to them what He is going to do in the future. He's promising them He is going to die. They aren't going to see Him, but then they're going to see Him again in His resurrection briefly. Verse 19 speaks of that. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more, but ye see Me. There's the resurrection. But then Jesus is explaining to them that He is going to go away again. He is going to go unto the Father into heaven in the ascension. And that is how we need to understand Jesus' words, that He's going to go away. I'm going to depart from you. In my body, in my human nature, I'm not going to abide with you or be present with you anymore. But then, now in the text and in other verses in the passage, Jesus assures the disciples, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to come again in such a way that I'm going to make an abode with you. I'm going to room with you, literally. I'm going to be with you in such a way that I live with you and you live with Me every day. Jesus in the text, when He speaks of living with the disciples, speaks of something that's a little different than what He speaks of in verse 2 and verse 3. There He speaks of living with the disciples too in God's house in heaven. And that house is referred to as a house of many mansions. This is a spacious house. This is a palatial home, a home that is beautiful, a home of great riches and splendor. That's very comforting for the child of God. When we arrive in heaven, we're not going to be disappointed with the house of God made by the hand of God in heaven. It's going to be a beautiful house that far exceeds any house that man might make. But here in the passage, Jesus speaks of an abode, or literally, a room. And here He's speaking about the intimacy of the fellowship that is going to be enjoyed when He lives with the disciples and with His people on the earth. It's possible to live in a house with someone and have hardly any fellowship with that person. It's possible to live in a great big home and never be in the same room with another person. That's His part of the house, and that's your part of the house. But Jesus says, I'm going to live with you in such a way that we will be roommates. We are going to room with each other. And of course, Jesus is speaking about the future to the disciples. This is a promise of what is to come for them. But now, as we look at this text from our viewpoint today, this is a promise that is fulfilled through Jesus' resurrection and through His ascension into heaven. The reality is that Jesus, He came back to His disciples. He lived with Thomas. He roomed with Philip and with Judas, not Iscariot, so that every day of their lives, they could say, I live with Jesus, and Jesus lives with me. And beloved, this is the reality for every believer today too. It's beautiful when you think of it. If someone asks you, who or with whom do you live? You might answer, with my family. Or if you live alone, you might say, I don't live with anyone. But now this passage says that Jesus Christ, after His ascension into heaven, has returned to this earth to live with His people, that as a believer you can say, I live, I room with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Jesus represents the Father, because He does the works of the Father, because He reveals the Father, Jesus was able to say, as He lived with the disciples on the earth, I'm not only living with you, but God the Father is living with you. And now this will be true also when I come back to you. When I come back to you, I'm going to come back as the representative of the Father. So that when I commune with you and room with you, the Father will also. Jesus explained the intimate connection between Himself and the Father in verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. So that when He comes again, verse 20 says, that day ye shall know that I am in the Father and ye in me and I in you. The Father here refers not to only the first person of the Trinity. The Father here, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, and the Father of us, His people, is the triune God. So that this is now the privilege of the believer who lives in faith here in this world, that he can say, I live and room with Jesus Christ, and in Him, with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The world cannot say this. The world lives, of course, very near to God. God is present everywhere in the world. But Jesus makes very plain, this is a privilege of the disciples and of believers only. Only believers can say, I live with Jesus Christ and with God the Father. Now let's make this very practical. You might ask, how? How does Jesus accomplish this? How did He return? And how do I experience He's living in me, and God the Father is living in me? And where do I experience that? Well, Jesus answers these questions in the text and in the context. Jesus answers the question of how He will return to the disciples when He speaks of the Holy Spirit in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. And we know who that Comforter is from verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. And then Jesus says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit dwelling within the hearts of the people of God is a Spirit that comes from Jesus Christ, so that Jesus can say, when that Spirit comes to you disciples and to you people of God today, it is Jesus Christ Himself who makes His home within your heart. So that Ephesians 3 verse 17 can say, Christ dwells in us by faith. His living with us is not physical. You cannot say that Jesus Christ lives in your house, in His human body, and that's why He lives with you. But rather, His living with you, His loving you, is a spiritual reality. So that you can say by faith that Jesus Christ lives within you wherever you go. So that even when you say that you're not with a family member, because physically they are not present with you, you can always say, Jesus Christ is with me by His Spirit. I'm never apart from Him. That Spirit not only makes us the abode, the home of Jesus Christ, but the text and the context reveals that He makes us the home of God. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name. This is how the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. This is how He brings us comfort. He brings us the presence of the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, so that we may know He lives and dwells in us and with us. This is how we ought to understand that passage in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, where the Apostle says, ye are the temple of God, that's the triune God, because the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. Ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So how does Jesus Christ come and live with us now if He has gone in His body to heaven and we are still physically here on earth? It's by His Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. But how concretely do we experience this love of God communicated by His Holy Spirit? And how do we experience this God dwelling with us, making His abode with us? Well, that comes out in the text in the context too. We experience this through the Word of God in the church. There's two parts here. Jesus makes very plain that there is a contrast here between the world, which He says does not receive the Spirit, and His people. The house of God is not found in every person in the world. The Spirit of God does not dwell in the heart of everyone in the world. Therefore, those who do not receive the Spirit, do not receive the manifestation of God through Jesus Christ, don't know God, don't know anything about His love in his fellowship. Though Jesus doesn't mention the church, we know that that is where the Spirit of God works in the church. Because the house of God, we are told very plainly in 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, is the church of the living God. That's the beauty of church membership. God, by His Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, gathers His people into the church, into the communion and the fellowship of the other members of the church. That's beautiful, but that's not all. God gathers us into the fellowship, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, of His Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. How and where does God abide with us so that we experience His love and fellowship? Here's the answer. By His Holy Spirit working in our hearts and bringing us into the church, which is the house of the living God. Outside of the church, there is no life in fellowship with God. To be a part of the church means, beloved, that you receive the blessing that says to you that you may have the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. This isn't all mysterious, beloved. This isn't all mystical. We can put this into language we can understand. The love and the fellowship of God is enjoyed in the church, not in the world. And then it is enjoyed through the Word. The Spirit, Jesus Christ says He is going to pray, come to us, is the Spirit of truth, according to verse 17. And according to verse 26, the Spirit is going to teach you in My name. He's going to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So all that the apostles have heard from Jesus Christ, that they do not now completely understand, the Holy Spirit's going to come and give them a complete understanding of everything that Jesus has said and taught them. And then He's going to inspire those apostles to write down the Word of Jesus Christ so that we experience, by means of the Scriptures, God-breathed, inspired Scriptures, the love of God and God's presence with us. And the beauty of Holy Scripture is that it testifies to us God's deep and abiding love for us. Now, this is very important. We're going to see in a moment our calling to love God, so that we may experience that He is abiding with us. And now what comes out in the text, we're going to see that, is that our calling is to love God by keeping His commandments, to put that love into action. Well, that's what the Holy Scriptures do. They testify it's not only God's attitude of love, God loves us. He has come to us and He loves us, but He's put that love into action. The Scriptures tell us that God has so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might not perish but have everlasting life. And Romans 5 verse 8 tells us God has commended His love towards us. He showed it to us. He put it into action. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, that's very practical. How has God come to us in love? He came to us in love by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. But how do we know about that love of God by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world? Through the Spirit-inspired Scriptures. So that Romans 10 verse 8 tells us the Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. When the living Word of God is applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we experience what those two travelers on the road to Emmaus experienced. Our hearts burn within us, filled with the life and the love and the fellowship of God. And so the Word, inspired by the Spirit, that we read and that we know by faith, is the means by which we experience God's love coming to us and God's fellowship and presence being with us. Beloved, through the Word in the church that we experience God's love and fellowship. How does God say to you, I love you. I'm with you. I am not far away from you. I'm near. Through the Word preached tonight, this day, and every Sabbath day. This is what the believer experiences under the preaching of the gospel. God Himself coming in the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is what Romans 5, or 10 rather, verse 8 says to us, the Word that is nigh thee, that's in thy mouth and in thy heart, is the Word we preach. The world knows nothing of this. The world doesn't know the beauty of the preaching of the gospel. But the elect child of God sitting under this Word of Jesus Christ experiences, as this Word is preached, God loves me. His Spirit is in my heart. And I believe this Word. I know He's with me. God's love and His fellowship comes by means of the words that are brought by the elders and the deacons too. They are, after all, the representatives of Jesus Christ in the church. When they come with the Word of God, it's God's love communicated to you by means of those God-appointed office bearers. And this is what we experience too, through the love and the fellowship of the saints. What is it when a believer comes to you? One who is anointed with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Gives you instruction, maybe, from the Word of God. Gives you an admonition, maybe. Or gives you comfort. This is what that is. It is God in heaven loving you, coming to you, living with you, fellowshipping with you, through His saints. Beloved, all our life in the church, by means of the Word of God that comes to us in many ways, we experience God loves us. He's with us. Now that comes with a call to loving obedience. That call comes, first of all, in verse 15. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. And then also verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And then the text. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now if you read that uncarefully, it might sound as though Jesus Christ is saying, if you want God to live with you, and you want to experience that He loves you in Christ Jesus, you must first love Him. It may sound as though this is a condition. For God loving us, we must first love God. But notice very carefully the wording of verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And that's really the same thing we have in the text. If a man love me, he will keep my words. This is what Jesus is saying here. Not your love is a condition for God loving you, but he's saying your love for God, if it is genuine, it's going to be expressed through obedience to my words and to my commandments. Besides that, when we compare this passage to the rest of Holy Scripture, we know that it cannot be that our love is first. God responds to our love for Him by loving us. That's not the way that it is. And it cannot be, because the text makes a close connection between our love and our obedience, that our obedience, that our good works according to the commandments of God, earn God's love and His favor. We know from Romans chapter 3, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. We're justified by faith. We know too that our love of God is a response to God's love for us first of all. 1 John 4 verse 10. We love Him because He loved us. And our love for God is explained in Scripture as God loving us, God taking hold of us in His love by His Holy Spirit, giving us the grace to love Him. God does not say, your status as my roommate depends on you loving me. If you love me, I'll take up my home with you. I'll move in with you and live with you. But if you don't, I'll move out. That may be and is the way that many men and women love. I'll take up home and residence with you as long as you love me and show yourself to be deserving of my love. But the minute you show yourself undeserving, I'm bolting. That's not the love of God. God does not say here, I'll be your father and I'll claim you as my son and my daughter as long as you love me and obey me. But as soon as you don't love me, don't obey me, I'll disown you and you lose your status. My son or daughter, and I won't be your father. If that's what the text communicated, this wouldn't be of any comfort to the disciples or to the church. But the truth is, beloved, God's love for us does not depend on our love for Him. And our status as God's children, His sons and His daughters, never changes on the basis of anything we do. Our forgiveness, our justification, our adoption as God's children is sure and complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, when God says He makes His home with us, He's telling us here in the text about the character of that home. Notice here that this is God's home. This is the home of Jesus Christ. God doesn't say, you have a home, and I'm going to move into your home and share it with you so that it will become our home together. But rather in the text we read Jesus saying, we will come unto Him and make our abode with Him. God is declaring what He does by His grace when He moves into our hearts. He moves into us who are by nature temples of the devil, devoted to sin. And He says, I'm going to purchase you so that you become my temple. Not so that you become your own temple that I move into, but so that you become my temple, my house. And because I'm the Father, I set the rules of the house. This house that I'm going to move into needs to reflect my character as the Holy God. That's true, of course, of heaven. It's God's house. It's not ours. And God determines the character of His house in heaven. And He tells us in His Word that in heaven, the house made not with human hands, but built by God, there's not going to be any sin. Rather, His house is going to be a house in which righteousness dwells. Perfect holiness and perfect sinlessness. Well, this is true also of the houses. We can speak in the plural about the hearts of God's people. God says, when I come and dwell within you, you are going to be a holy temple, separated from sin. You must love me and keep my commandments. And God is saying, by the power of my grace, this is what you will do. So now this, beloved, becomes, first of all, the evidence that God lives in us and we live with Him. We love Him and keep His Word. Don't say, I do love God and He does live with me. If you walk in sin, you can't say that. You're giving evidence then you don't love God, and God has not come to you to live with you. Secondly, not only is this the way to give evidence that we love God and that He lives with us, but what Jesus is teaching us is this is the way to know the love of God and know that He is in you and with you. Jesus warns, 24:24, He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and he will not know the love of God. You won't know God's love if you walk in sin and darkness. You want to know God's love? It's this simple. You want to experience His joy, His peace, His fellowship. Take hold of this word. The commandments of God, the words of Jesus Christ. Keep them. And that will show that your love for God isn't just lip service. Not a mere feeling, but it's a genuine, true love. And God's promise is, if you walk in that way, you will know that I love you and I am with you. And that's the blessed result, beloved. The result of God coming and living with us and leading us in the way of loving obedience unto Him is that we know and see God. This was the question that Judas not Iscariot, asked Jesus. Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us, not unto the world? How is it that we're going to see and know Thee in our lives, and know Thee as our Lord and Savior, and know God Thy Father? Jesus is saying, the world can't know me because the world isn't going to understand the things of the Spirit or of the Word of God. But you will know me and God the Father because He's going to love you. He's going to come to you by His Spirit and by His Word. And then when you, by faith, take hold of that Word and you live it, you keep my commandments, well then, you're going to know every day, I am with you. And Jesus is promising here, beloved, that we can grow in this. Don't neglect the Word. Don't walk in the ways of sin and disobedience. Even if you are one of God's children, so that He will not withdraw His Holy Spirit from you, that you fall into perdition. If you don't walk in the way of love for God and keep His commandments, He will withdraw the sense, the experience, the joy of His presence. Love Him. Love His Word. Meditate upon His commandments. And the Bible says that if you do that and resist the devil, he's going to flee from you. And at the same time you draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. He'll live with you all your life, every day. And He'll be your guide even unto death. And because His goodness and His mercy is with you, you'll be able to know Him, enjoy Him in Jesus Christ, and be assured that you're going to live in His house in heaven forever. Amen. Father, we love to know that Thou art with us, and that we never live alone. We love to know that because we experience that we cannot rely on anyone or anything but Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Lead us in the way of loving obedience unto Thee, that in that way we may ever grow in the knowledge of Thy love and Thy care for us. And grant, Father, that living in the church, living under the preaching of the Word, living under the rule and the care of the office bearers, and living together with fellow saints and believers in Jesus Christ, that we may experience all our life Thy love, Thy fellowship. We ask it in His name. Amen.